Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you guys about the MLB Roto Baller Challenge, hosted by our friends at Fantrax on Fantrax.com. Fantrax is the most customizable free fantasy baseball platform in the industry, and that's why we're hosting over our 2022 Roto Baller Challenge over on Fantrax. If you want the greatest fantasy experience, sign up for a free Roto Baller Challenge team today by going to rotoballer.com/challenge. All leagues are free to join, and you get to compete against Roto Baller writers and readers for a shot at $500 cash grand prize. All new Fantrax users get entered into a free giveaway to win a signed official MLB Wander Franco jersey. If you want to get entered to win a Wander Franco jersey and you're new to Fantrax, go to Fantrax.com/Bubba and sign up for your free Fantrax account today. Once you have your Fantrax account, go to rotoballer.com/challenge to join the Challenge League, but go to Fantrax.com/Bubba to create your Fantrax account, be entered to win a Wander Franco autographed jersey. But for now, welcome to Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 454. We are going to talk some more news because there's tons of it here in baseball these days, and give us our fantasy baseball twist to get you ready for the first big draft weekend of the fantasy baseball season. In order to do so, first-time guests of the show, really looking forward to talking to this gentleman. He writes for Fantrax.com, Rotowire.com, and many, many more places. You can find him on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. Corbin, how we doing, man?
Hey, Bubba. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad, glad you can make it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's been a long time coming, so I'm looking forward to it. But before we get into all the goodies here, why don't you kind of plug what you got going on? I mentioned where they can find you, but kind of throw everything on it. I know you can do football stuff as well.
Yeah, I dabble with both fantasy football and baseball. Right now, you know, primarily baseball stuff. And, some work at Fantrax. I just started with RotoWire, doing some news, some player outlooks, and one article. And so just kind of getting started with them, and a little bit baseball stuff with fantasy data as well, but primarily with Fantrax and RotoWire for now.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we're going to talk about your first RotoWire article here at the end of the show, because it's awesome stuff as usual. You go real deep in the real deep, you do deep work into the data, but you make it understandable. That's why I don't say real deep. Like, you do really, really good data work, but even lame brains like myself can figure it out. So that it is a very, very appreciative thing. But we're, like I said, going to talk about a lot of the news that has taken place, like, over the weekend, over the last few days, since I basically last did a podcast on news, hit the big topics, hit some just storylines in spring training, because there's tons of those. And we're going to kick things off with Boston Red Sox signing Trevor Story. Like, once Correa took off, Story was the last big shortstop left, and it was down to, you know, Boston, maybe Houston, the Giants were in the mix, and a few other teams, but Boston made sense. He's going to go play second base this year, which adds some multi-position eligibility. But what's your thoughts on Trevor Story going to Boston? Because his ADP's jumped almost a full round right now.
Yeah. No, I love it. You know, like you talked about, he's kind of just one of those rare players that, you know, probably could go like 30-20 with a tons of run RBI. You know, so rightfully so, that ADP is going to shoot up there. I think, you know, obviously line of contact's a lot better. You know, even if the batting average takes a dip, I haven't totally looked into the the Babbitt Park factors for Fenway or anything like that. But yeah, I think some folks are worried about if Story's going to run or not. That's kind of been like the narrative that's kind of popped around here lately. But, you know, it's obviously a small sample, but I kind of looked at last year's season under Alex Cora, so not including 2020, but kind of where they ranked in stolen base rate. I mean, last year they were second to last in stolen base rate, and then 2019 they're 21st, and then 2018 they're first. So I mean, but I looked back at, you know, team contact wise, who was there in 2018, but that was like Benintendi, Betts, Jackie Bradley, all kind of leading the Chargers. So I mean, just kind of based on who they have right now, they might finish towards the bottom again. But you know, I don't think it's, you know, I think Trevor Story's probably going to give you at least 15, close to 20, if, you know, if not that, assuming health. So,
yep, I completely agree. It is kind of funny when I hear people saying, oh, he's not going to run anymore and this and that. It's like Cora's not running, as you kind of said, based on their kind of team build. They don't really have a ton of guys to run. Like when Rafael Devers is getting close to 10 bags, and that's pretty much all they got, then that just says a lot about the team. But now you have a player, Trevor Story, who can get you 15 to 20 bases, maybe 25 if he runs real hot. But I'm kind of with you. I'm still kind of thinking 15 to 20. And I think the power will be just fine. I know people are like, oh, his batting average will be better because he's going to hit so many balls off the monster. Center field's a big BABIP section in Fenway. But, you know, Coors is a massive BABIP park as well. So we'll see how that transitions. But I think Story's going to be just fine. I'm not too worried about it. And adding that multi-position eligibility is going to be really, really nice. It's like so many of the stud middle infielders not going to play all over the diamond, which makes it really, really nice when you're making your drafts this season. All right, let's go to Philadelphia. They made a couple splashes. They went and signed Nick Castellanos, which is a big move because I was kind of hesitant during draft season on Castellanos. Just we've seen him in bad ballparks to hit in, really scuffled. When he's in great ballparks, he's an offensive machine. So not many better places than Philadelphia for Casty to go to. So what's your thoughts on Nick Castellanos to Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Nick Castellanos. I targeted him in TGFBI last year and then again this year, and just was like, you know, I was thinking like worst case scenario, if he goes back to a park like the Tiger, it's like he still can be pretty good. So I was like, I'm going to guess that it's not where he's going to land. He's going to land on a team that's trying to win. So, you know, I was just buying into that, and he's just a good hitter. I mean, you know, it's kind of like he doesn't have those steals, but, you know, it's okay. He's like that four category contributor.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I feel kind of foolish because, like you said, he wasn't going back to Detroit. And I can't remember who said it on what show, but one very smart analyst said, we should have all known better that majority of these players were going to sign in a beneficial location for them. Like we were all, a lot of us, not we all, a lot of us were hesitant on certain players because we didn't know where they would land. But it's like Castellanos is not going to go sign a deal to go play somewhere that, you know, makes him not play well for his next deal to stink. Like that just doesn't make sense. So it's a great landing spot, great offense, because now they add Kyle Schwarber to go right behind him. Like the projected lineup has like Schwarber at one. You have like Hoskins two, possibly, and then you have Harper and Casty and Realmuto. It's awesome. So what's your thoughts on Schwarber, who looks like the full-time DH for the Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah, it's so weird to see. Like, I mean, I obviously has the OBP skills, but projected bad leadoff, right, for Schwarber. Kind of like you're not traditional leadoff hitter there. But no, I mean, he's just a monster. You know, I mean, he was just totally dominant in that first half, kind of before the injury. You know, just a ton of, but, you know, power still stuck around in this in post injury. Batting average went up a little bit when I looked at that. You know, I mean, the home run for fly ball rate was up like 3% over the career average. So, I mean, even that regressed a little bit, he's going to be like a 30 plus home run bat. Hopefully he's healthy, you know, could be more. I mean, he could push 40 if he's healthy. But yeah, no, I love that a lot.
Yeah, it's a big move. And it's just like you throw Schwarber in there. I mentioned you throw Casty in there, and it's just got to bump up, you know, Hoskins value. Harper's already a first rounder. You got Realmuto. They're all going to benefit tremendously from this offense. And it's kind of a trickle down effect. I guess if we had to point at one thing that might not be great is, Gene Segura now, who was potentially going to lead off for the team, might be batting like sixth or seventh. So that's kind of a bummer. But as a whole, I know it's been a weird topic of conversation on certain parts of Twitter. Where do you kind of rank this Phillies offense from a fantasy perspective out of like the one of the top offenses in fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot. I mean, they obviously don't have a ton of stolen bases. So like, yeah. It almost kind of reminds me of like a little bit of the Yankees per se, where it's just like just a ton of power. Ton of counting stats, things like that. But no, I guess I would hate to be like a Reds or A's fan, but I kind of like how these teams are like, you know what, we're going to sign these kind of big names and just like, you know, and do that. So I know I like that a lot. Their offense is pretty good, but yeah, Jean Segura kind of getting bumped down. But you know, they could mess around the lineup, okay. You know, I mean, Segura's, you know, got some good OBP batting average skills too. So they could kind of move things around as the season goes on. So.
I completely agree with you. I think it'll be a point where it's like, okay, Schwarber's got his good OBP, but he's not running. He's clogging up the base paths. Like, let's put Gene back up here and put Schwarber sixth. Like, that's an easy move that would make actually a lot of sense. So I wouldn't be shocked by that, and I'd be a big fan of that for my early Gene shares. The Minnesota Twins, like you mentioned the Reds and the A's, and in years past, the Twins kind of fit that mold. Not this year. They're aggressive. They, you know, they already did the Sonny Gray move. They traded Josh Donaldson. They're making moves, and now they just went and signed Carlos Correa to a lot of money, So, like, you get an improved defender at shortstop for this squad. Obviously, we know the bat with Carlos Correa. Health is the issue. What's your thoughts on Correa in Minnesota? Because I'm not really usually a Correa guy, so it doesn't really move the needle for me, but some people absolutely love it.
Yeah, I'm not really a Correa guy either. Just kind of the health, and then – you know, it's, you know, usually in that middle infield or shortstop, you're looking for some guy that's going to get you some speed. Yeah, I mean, 640 plate appearances, you know, most since 2016. I mean, you know, if we're expecting another healthy season, I mean, we hope that. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you just kind of plan otherwise around steals, it could be fine. You know, assuming, I don't think he's going to get kind of the same runs in RBI that he did last year, just because the Twins are not terrible, but they're like pretty serviceable. But yeah, I was a little surprised with the Carlos Correa move, just because I mean last year they moved Jose Berrios and like some other guys, and then I was like, oh, maybe they're just gonna tear it down, and then it's like, oh nope, they brought in Kiner Falefa and a couple of guys for like 1 second, and they traded back out. So I mean, maybe they're just, you know, trying to just patch some things up and hope that they can win with what they got. But no, I do like that for Sonny Gray, just from like a, you know, infield perspective of a good defender and stuff like that. The other guys they have, I think, a little more like fly ball pitchers, I think, with Joe Ryan and Isaac Bailey-Ober. So I don't know how much that has to do with there, but yeah.
No, I'm with you. Like, Sonny Gray will be the big benefactor here. They'll get a little bump at the armor fly ball pitchers, as you mentioned. And they're still discussing potentially trading for like Frankie Montas or Sean Manaea, which would be pretty interesting as well. So the Twins are going for it, which is fun to see. And they're doing it different. They're doing it like in a small, like, because Correa is only a 3-year deal. Like, Sonny's got like 2 or 3 years left. So it's kind of a, let's go for it for a year or two. If it doesn't work, we'll trade guys off and reload type thing. So it's fun to see these kind of, I know there's no such thing as a small market team in baseball, but what we consider maybe a smaller market team making some splashes. So that's kind of fun to see for sure. The Atlanta Braves, this one shocked me quite a bit, because it felt like Will Smith did a great job last year, 37 saves. It was kind of his role. If anything, maybe they'd bring back Craig Kimbrell. Well, they went and signed Kenley Jansen, who I swore was going back to the Dodgers. So this is a big, big move. He's going to step right in the closer's role for the defending World Series champions. What's your thoughts on Kenley in Atlanta?
Yeah, that was definitely surprising. I can't say I've really targeted Will Smith at all, but yeah, I know, there are a couple people that I know that are like, I'm just drafting Kenley because wherever he goes, he's going to close. And yeah, of course I had to go to a team that everybody was drafting Will Smith as the closer, yeah, or the expected closer. I mean, you know, Kenley's just a smart pitcher, right? Like, you just, in terms of eliciting weak contact and stuff, like, I don't ever dig too deep into relievers, you know, or closers. Just kind of like, I let other people that do that deep analysis there and kind of rely on what they got to say. But yeah, I mean, the cutter is just that, you know, that pitch that just, it's just gonna keep listening weak contact there, and it's, you know, he's just a smart guy. So I mean, yeah, if they give him the job, I mean, assuming health and stuff like that, he should be just fine.
Yeah, it's a health thing. The strikeouts have continued to be there. He's walking guys more, but like you said, that cutter's gonna do the cutter thing, and he should have plenty of save chances there. So I kind of have him going over Aroldis Chapman in my book. I know some disagree with that, but that's kind of the area he's going in drafts right now, and with those two kind of next to each other. So it'll be fun to see how that one goes. San Diego Padres, they made a big move. We know they want to get rid of Eric Hosmer. They couldn't do it, but they still brought in Luke Voit, who had nowhere to go with the Yankees once Rizzo came back. So early reports, Voit will be the DH. Might play some first base when lefties are on the mound, but they're going to try to play him every day if they can. And that's a big if, because he can't stay healthy. So what's your thoughts on Luke Voit going to San Diego?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they definitely need some hitting depth, right? Like if you looked at the lineup before Voit, without Fernando Tatis, it looks pretty awful, right? Outside of Manny Machado, there's so many question marks up and down that lineup with just some struggles. I mean, Jake Cronenworth is great, but you know, it's like you need a little more depth than that. No, I do like it a lot. You know, he's a good hitter. He's got a good OBP skills. You know, so I looked at his ADP, I mean, it's probably before, it probably hadn't jumped yet, but it was like in the 200s or 250, I thought. So, I mean, if you drafted him there, you know, you just, that's totally just, you lucked out there, and, you know, just kind of, he's probably going to jump at least probably top 200, I would guess at this point.
Yeah. I just submitted an article for Fantrax, ADP risers due to transactions. And since the day he was traded as of yesterday's on the 20th, oh, actually it's 21st ADP. He had jumped 46 spots already. So he's on the move. That is for sure. And we know that the power is legit, which is crazy, but man, if he could just stay healthy, cause I've written more Luke Voit articles than I care to write ever again, I think. And the talent's tough to beat, but stay healthy, kid. Please stay healthy.
Yeah.
The Marlins, they've made a few moves this year. Also, Avisel Garcia, you know, they've made a couple here and there. Now they go and bring in Jorge Soler. This was kind of a surprise. They were trying to trade for Brian Reynolds. Couldn't get that one worked out. So they went and got Jorge Soler. Again, not the best ballpark to hit in, but he's going to play right now, projected to play center field. That's where he's been playing all spring, which is interesting. And an article came out on Wednesday saying he, unless something goes wrong, should play most of the time in center field. So what's your thoughts on Jorge Soler in Miami, who not the best ballparks, but there's not many ballparks that will contain Jorge Soler.
Yeah, I was going to say that power is going to play anywhere. You know, I think whether there's some validity to this, he's pretty streaky. You know, if you kind of look at some of the rolling graphs, like I kind of remember back in 2019, he just like went on a tear in the second half. But if you look at some of the rolling graphs on Fangraphs, like, I mean, basically the home run to fly ball rate just aligns with the Wobo like perfectly. So, I mean, you know, just a small sample, but yeah, with Casey, he was awful, you know, still hit the ball hard, but a little more contact, you know, a little more bad luck there. And he just, you know, dominated with Atlanta there. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to affect the power a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he's just got so much raw power. It's kind of like that Phillies offense. It's kind of like, you know, where do all these guys play in the outfield? I mean, it's not as deep, but I don't know. I thought, yeah, did you say who was going to play center field? Did you say Avisel Garcia was going
to
play?
No, they say it's supposed to be Soler. That was the article that came out today, which was kind of surprising to many. Okay. They want Soler there. They want Avi, I think, in one of the corners. And that leaves Jesus Sanchez, Brian De La Cruz, I think even one other guy.
That is interesting. I thought Soler was like almost as bad as like Marcelo Zuna out there. So I'm not sure how that's gonna go.
Yeah, no, it was very surprising. Let's put it that way. Mike Kirlin does his lineup takeaways, and he kept saying since they're gonna play in center field, he's playing like every spring game in center field. I'm like, there's no way. And then he showed me an article that said center field. Now, if you look at Roster Resource, it still has Soler in left field, has Jesus Sanchez in a platoon in center field with Brian De La Cruz, and it has Avisel Garcia in right field. So that's where they're penciling on getting a Garrett Cooper at DH. So we'll wait and see. They also have Jazz Chisholm Jr. Platooning with John Birdie, which I don't see happening. But we'll see how that one goes. The Cubs, I'll give the Cubs a little credit because I think what they're doing is kind of bush league because they have tons of money and they're buying a soccer team, for crying out loud. So they can't cry poor, but they are. And they did sign Jonathan Villar after they signed Seiya Suzuki. Last week we talked about him already, but Jonathan Villar is one of those guys that I was getting late in a lot of drafts just because usually he signs with a bad team that's got needing to play enough with his utility skills. And next thing you know, if you look at his like career stats, double digit homers, double digit stolen bases almost every single season, he just finds ways to do it. Chicago should be a place where he'll get plenty of run here and there just because wisdom, strikeout rates, and others. What's your thoughts on Villar in Chicago?
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing with VR. I wish I had kind of drafted him just kind of where he was at before he signed, just because, yeah, I didn't realize he played that much last year, like over 500 plate appearances. Like, I guess I kind of was like, oh, he's on the Mets and there's too many people in the infield. He's just never going to see time. But yeah, 18 and 14. Yeah, and I think he's just a compiler, right? So you're just hoping that he's going to but at that ADP, yeah, you're just hoping that he's going to compile. Yeah, I think 15 homers, 20 on stolen bases is, you know, within reasonable, reasonable projection for him. And so, yeah, I think that's that's fine. Yeah, I think that, and then yeah, with like Wisdom and all these other guys like that kind of popped up last year. I mean, VR can play all over the infield pretty much. I mean, I don't know if his defense is very good, but he's at least going to play all over the infield just because, you know. So
yeah, they'll give him a chance in the infield. He can even play the outfield if they get desperate. Like they're going to plug him out there somewhere. But like Wisdom's got that great power. Everybody wants to see him. But if you strike out like 45% of the time, eventually that comes to an end also. Shortstop with Nico Horner, second base with Nick Madrigal. They're good, but they're going to need some breaks as well. So there's going to be time for Johnny VR. And I'm really intrigued with it because, like you mentioned, he accumulated over 500 plate appearances last year. And when you just look at VR as a whole, I mentioned the double-digit homers and stolen bases. But the dude somehow, even though he technically doesn't have like a starting spot, like when he starts the season, he still plays like, I'm pulling it up right now, at least like 130, or he's played 122 or more games in the last five full seasons, not counting the short in 2020, where he played 52 of the 60. But he finds ways to play games, which is hilarious to me. So, yeah, Johnny VR, big fan of that situation. The Detroit Tigers, they made a few moves here and there. I love the E-Rod move way back when. But they brought in Michael Pineda. And there's a lot of pros and cons with Michael Pineda, probably more cons than pros. But he does go to a favorable atmosphere in Detroit. He's pitched in the Central before. Any intrigue for a guy like Pineda, like super deep leagues, or is it just like, you know what, maybe I'll stream him from time to time?
Yeah, he's only a streamer. I got a weird bias against Michael Pineda. Maybe it's the pine tar. Maybe it's being a former Mariners pitcher or something. But yeah, I think he only really goes about five innings. He's really only got one decent pitch with the slider. The slider's like, okay, like it's good, but it's not like, you know, just like, it's not like Luis Castillo's changeup or something where it's just so dominant kind of that he can get away with it. He's okay. Four seamer kind of stinks, but yeah, he's just a streamer. I mean, you're probably just hoping that you're looking at a good matchup, pitching at home kind of thing or something. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just, man, he showed so much potential at one time, but then I guess the pine tar kind of took that potential away. Maybe we found out why there was potential there. He was just too dumb to even hide it properly. But we'll see how that plays out. Another kind of weird move, but we've seen him be fantasy viable from time to time, is Drew Smyly signing with the Cubs. I've always been very hesitant to Drew Smyly, but there's some very smart people that like love what Drew Smyly can bring to the table. So are you in or out on Drew Smyly with the Cubs?
I'm out. This is one that when you put it on the rundown, I like – kind of missed this move. Like I don't even recall this move popping up. I'm just out because it's just, you know, small sample. I mean, he was good in 2020, right, with like 26 innings with the Giants. A lot of injuries. Pitch movement's pretty good. I hadn't really looked at Drew Smyly too deeply for today, but pitch movement's pretty good on the cutter and four seamer. We'll see. I mean, he'll probably get a chance to start. I mean, I haven't looked at the Cubs starting rotation, but he's probably got a chance to start there with what Marcus Stroman and Kyle Hendricks leading that charger.
Yeah, no, it's not very deep when you look at roster resources. Stroman, Hendricks, Wade Miley, Alec Mills, Drew Smyly. That's where we're at. So going to be some rough days in Chicago this season. The Red Sox, this is just a minor one, Hansel Robles, but I just wanted to bring him up because he had his chances to close last year. Matt Barnes is kind of the guy for now, but that's how it was last year. In your super deep leagues, is there any interest in taking a flyer on a guy like Hansel Robles? There's just kind of a in-season situation for him.
I mean, maybe. Not really. I mean, unless it's like, yeah, like a DC or something where, the, you know, you're just looking to hopefully get something late in the draft. But, yeah, I'm kind of in on a Matt Barnes bounce back. Yep. I think – right where it kind of fell off, he kind of had COVID in August, and you know, I kind of believe in the small sample of the K-BB and chase rate and stuff like that. So I think he'll be, Barnes will be kind of fired up to kind of prove that it wasn't just a short little thing there. But
yeah, I like Barnes as well. I think he's a great value in drafts right now because he's gonna get that first start, and barring something going horribly wrong, he should hold on to that job for quite a while. So I like Matt Barnes quite a bit. The Dodgers, they signed Tyler Anderson. Again, not the flashiest move, but they have some injury history in that rotation. He's projected to be the fifth starter right now, which is kind of surprising. Any interest on Anderson on the Dodgers?
Yeah, I watch him a little closer when he got traded over to the Mariners. He's not super sexy or anything, right? He's kind of got some decent ratios. He's kind of a command control guy, pitch to contact profile. limits the walks. And, you know, I mean, outside of, I guess, he kind of got had some injuries, I guess, but, you know, he had a pretty decent amount of innings. But again, upside isn't there. But, you know, who knows? The Dodgers could unlock something. But yeah, I think he's probably just going to feel kind of like a spot start here and there. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to trust any organization to help with pitching, I guess it's going to be one of those teams going to be the Dodgers. So, yeah, probably a floor play, but nothing, not too much upside.
I'm with you there. Like he's intriguing, like for the floor, like you mentioned, but he's not going to wow your socks off at all. But we got breaking news. It dropped about 10 minutes ago, and this opened up MLB trade rumors. And I've been waiting for this man to sign because I have so many shares of this individual. And this is a great location to sign in. The Reds have signed Tommy Pham to a one-year deal. We know Pham had a down year last year, but if you look at the deeper stats, at least for me, there's a lot to still like there. Projections still love him for double-digit homers and power. He's going super cheap in drafts. What's your thoughts on Tommy Pham hitting the Cincinnati and Great American Small Park?
I mean, he's another guy that just needs to stay healthy, you know, just, I mean, he's going to provide power and speed. No, I like that a lot. Yeah, that's probably a good. And then I think they needed, I think Pham's a pretty good defender. I'm not pulling it up yet.
He's not bad. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, like they kind of needed a someone out there. No, I like that a lot. That's good. That's great. You know, cause I think last year he was kind of what outside of injuries, he's a little like not platoon, but they're kind of shifting some guys around a lot. So yeah, if he gets full-time playing time when healthy, yeah, you should feel confident just kind of rolling him out there.
Yeah. I'm pretty pumped on that one because even Yancey Eaton, who's a big Tommy Pham guy, he was tweeting out the other day. He's like, can someone please sign him? So I feel better about all the times I've drafted him. And I was kind of thinking the same thing. And you know, roster resource, obviously, it's early. They haven't projected to hit six, play left field full-time for the Reds with India, Naquin, Votto, Stevenson, Moustakas hitting in front of them. So pretty good move, actually. I can kind of get behind that one. Again, kind of like the joke I made with Castellanos, Pham signed in a favorable location, a one-year deal, so he can try to maybe get a two- or three-year deal next year before he retires. This is a really good move. I like this one quite a bit. All right, let's talk about some more news that has taken place here over the last few days. Shane Baz of the Tampa Bay Rays, popular young arm that people are swooning over because the stuff is really, really electric, but there's always been some innings concerns and whatnot. He shut down at least 2 to 3 weeks now, which is really going to curtail some fantasy value. So what's your thoughts on Shane Baz for the 2022 fantasy baseball season?
Yeah, I was never into him.
Just I have kinda, no shares either.
Just kind of based on that ADP, you know, too small of a sample. You know, I mean, you know, he could be Alec Manoa of 2021, you know, where you just whenever he's ready, he's ready. Yeah, I mean, he showed us a small sample, you know, couple really good breaking pitches. You know, I really liked Corey Kluber and Drew Rasmussen and Luis Patino, so that probably solidifies the role a little bit more. But yeah, I wasn't really actively targeting him at all, just because that ADP was just a little too rich for a guy with such a small sample.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Hike. I was like, okay, yeah, he's really good, but he's going super high. Probably not going to throw a ton of innings again this year. Lots of question marks. Like, why am I drafting him here again? So I'm 100% with you. Like, I always say, if I'm wrong on a guy, I'm okay being wrong on a guy. And he's one of those, like, if he would have knocked everybody's socks off this year, kudos. Thumbs up, but I wasn't going to have any shares at all. Luis Urias of the Milwaukee Brewers, he was a popular target with his multi-position eligibility. Quad injury, supposed to be out a few days. Hopefully he's okay, but already banged up at the end of the season. What's your thoughts on Urias this year?
Yeah, this one hurts a lot. I don't think I've drafted him yet. I only have a couple teams drafted, but yeah, he was a target of mine, just especially with that multi-eligibility. You know, there are some changes in the profile that I kind of liked, you know, looking at him in the offseason. But yeah, the Brewers don't really have that much depth. So I'm not really sure who's going to like really benefit a lot outside of just like an only maybe a deep league streamer, you know, maybe Jace Peterson, Mike, maybe the Rays guy, Mike Brasso kind of platoons there. I really like Keston here for a bounce back, but I don't know how he's going to fit in there with that injury. Like, I don't know who's going to move over to third, you know, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Adames moves over, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, I don't know. I mean, in theory, maybe Adames moves over somewhere, Colton Wong moves out, but yeah, it just seems like they don't have much exciting fantasy depth, you know, that would make me be like, yes, here's get the next man up kind of thing.
Yeah. Right now they have Jace Peterson and Brosu, platooning, which, yeah, is going to be a tough one. Peterson had his moments last year, though. I'll say that much. So hopefully it's not too serious. But Keston is he changed his stance. There's some optimism there. I know you're not the only one that's hoping for that bounce back. I'm a big Rowdy Tellez fan, so he'll cut into Rowdy's time, which would be a bummer. But this team's got some talent, so if we get some Keston Hero action going, I'm not going to hate that one at all. The Washington Nationals, Carter Kieboom out 4 to 6 weeks. Might not have been a fantasy target for anyone, but what it does do, brings back the ghost of Mikel Franco. Any interest in Mikel Franco, even in the deepest of leagues?
Yeah, so I do some RotoWire news, and yeah, that was one of the things that popped up, was like, Mikel Franco could earn more playing time. And I was like, man, where has this guy been? You know, just kind of bouncing around. But yeah, I mean, he's just going to be for a power bat. I mean, I think he's got to make the team. I think he's NRI right now. But I mean, I don't even know how to say that guy's name that used to be on the Twins. Here, Adrianza. I mean, when I looked at his profile, it doesn't look like anything fantasy, you know, special at all. Yeah, I mean, Mikel Franco might be like a cheap power bat if you're looking for that. But I'd probably just wait and see there and look elsewhere, really.
Yeah, I'd say like in 15-team leagues, in all-only leagues, he's the least intriguing. We've seen him, even when he doesn't hit for a good average, like with the Orioles recently, obviously with the Phillies, he's got ridiculous power. So by no means am I saying run out and draft him, but I'd at least have him on your radar now type situation, because if he sneaks into every day at-bats there, you know, the overall team's not going to be great, but the top part of the lineup's going to be at least pretty good, and that could make some nice RBI opportunities for Mikel Franco. A few more here. Jose Barrero, big Cincinnati prospect at shortstop. People were looking forward to seeing him break with the team. Now he's got at least 6 weeks with a hamate injury. Means Kyle Farmer's back at shortstop. So any thoughts on the Barrero Farmer shortstop situation in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too into Barrero, but yeah, that probably just solidifies Farmer's spot there. I thought he had more eligibility, but maybe that was last year for Farmer. I mean, Kyle Farmer's just kind of a boring accumulator. You know, he's serviceable in 15-team leagues, but he's not going to, you know, pop off the page or anything. So, I mean, he's an accumulator, so he's fine to kind of have your MI spot or something.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm with you on that one. Sticking with the Reds, Lucas Sims will not be ready for opening day. I think I got guys like Luis Sessa and Art Warren and others. If you had to try to draft a closer in Cincinnati, who would you be looking at?
Probably Art Warren. I was kind of avoiding this bullpen here because it was super frustrating last year with Heath Hembree and Michael Givens leading the team with 8, and there was like a bunch of players with 6 or 7 saves. Especially when they traded away Mary Garrett, I just was like, all right, it's going to be someone else, you know. But Art Warren's, you know, got a pretty, pretty good slider, and that's, you know, if I'm looking for a reliever, you know, I'll look for a dominant pitch like that with a 25% swinging strike rate, you know, 47% chase rate, you know, 123 wOBA. So I haven't drafted Art Warren anywhere, but he would be the one guy, especially because he's going like pretty late, if I recall.
Yeah, he's going very, very late. So I'm with you on Art Warren. It kind of stinks because in DC, he's one of my later targets, thinking, okay, we'll stash him. But now it's like people are kind of wising up to that situation. So that would be the route I would go as well. Mitch Keller, I know you've tweeted some stuff on Mitch Keller. You even wrote some stuff on Mitch Keller. We saw the videos in the offseason about the velocity increase and how he's kind of using his repertoire a little differently. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's just a video. Well, he came out in that first spring start and looked pretty darn good. Looked really good before it hit with a line drive. He's supposedly fine, set to make his next appearance here in spring. What's your thoughts on Keller this year? You know, the prospect pedigree is there. Maybe a little tweak's all it's going to take.
Yeah, no, I did like Keller a lot, kind of research him. I threw him in one of like kind of my last kind of like dart throw kind of Freddie Peralta type breakout guys. And yeah, there are people being like, Mitch Keller sucks, gross. But, you know, we do this a lot, right? It's like I try to remember that, like, we can't look at what this pitcher did and just be like, that's what he's going to be moving forward. I mean, if you look at him, it's just – you know, former top prospect, you know, struggled hard. So I kind of want to see what went wrong. I mean, you look at the, you know, just kind of surface stuff of like the BABIP left on base rate, it was just kind of awful, you know. So, you know, 385 BABIP, you know, so it's like if that kind of regresses there, some of the ratios are going to even out. He never really had a home run problem, you know, he kind of limited some of the home runs. So I kind of like that. I kind of was one time earlier on, I was tweeting like, I think the pitch mix needs to change. Like maybe I didn't know what to what, but Rob Silver was like, what is he going to increase? Like everything sucks. And, you know, I mean, he was just kind of like, yeah. He was just kind of like half joking, but like, you know, I mean, that was a good point, right? It's like, we say like, oh, this should change. And it's like, well, to what, like, what is it going to change to? So, I mean, you know, like the slider was like the only pitch that was like pretty good. So I was like, maybe this one, you know, it's just like, so, I mean, he has two good breaking pitches. And yeah. And then right after I kind of, posted that article, someone sent me the tweet of the Tread Athletics things. And I was like, yes, validation. But, you know, but you know, one of the videos I was looking at, with the coach from Tread Athletics, he was using some of the Savant data and some of their technology. And they're comparing Mitch Keller's stuff to Gerrit Cole's stuff. Now, that's not to say that Keller is going to turn to Gerrit Cole. All it's saying is that kind of the movement profile and, you know, kind of the shape of the pitches kind of looked similar. You know, so I kind of like that narrative kind of backing up what I was already kind of looking at. So hopefully that translates into results. You know, velo's up. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of joked about like best shape of your life, right? If there's someone that is just awful or just not playing well or something, and they're going to like make some actionable changes, like go train and figure something out, you know, so then I'm going to kind of buy into that. Or like Vlad Guerrero, you know, I didn't get any Vlad Guerrero, but, you know, we look at Vlad Guerrero and we're like, man, yeah, I guess he could benefit from having better body composition. That'd probably help his baseball skills. And, you know, and it's like, so those kind of things, I think, you know, I we don't want to buy into every kind of hype video, but if there's something that kind of makes sense, I kind of just go, okay, well, look, if the research says this, and that just adds to it. So,
yeah, I'm 100% with you. And that's why the Keller one, I kind of was I wasn't annoyed, but I was like, everyone's writing it off so fast. And I'm like, this guy used to be like, had the signs being really good. Like, I'm not going to say, like you said, he's not going to be Gerrit Cole, but he had some flashes of like some really good stuff. And we've said it with so many pitchers, when they make a pitch mix change or a velocity change or something, all of a sudden, look at, here they are. So what was stopping him? Like, what, why were you just discounting this? Cause he was so bad. We'll see. It was one spring start. A lot can change still, but I'm very happy with what we saw. It sounds like you're very happy with what we saw. Do you have you drafted Mitch Keller anymore?
Oh yeah. The two 15 teams I've had, TGFBI and this other like relegation draft that we do. Mitch Keller and Jesus Luzardo, the two guys that I just been like nonstop, just making sure I get out there. Yeah, Luzardo was another guy that I put out there and somebody was like, he sucks. I'm like, well, yeah, he has sucked, but you know.
What are you expecting from Luzardo this year? Because yeah, that last start was great to finish the season, plus his first start in spring. We saw the velocity up. What are your kind of expectations for Luzardo?
Yeah, so I think although it didn't translate into results, he did make a pitch mix change when he was with the Marlins. And so it didn't translate to results, but I kind of like that. And, you know, the Marlins have been good about just kind of like developing some change ups with like Sandy Alcantara and stuff like that. And so kind of assuming that the changeup's going to also improve, plus the breaking pitch is pretty good, you know, lower that fastball usage a little bit and just kind of, you know, another year of development there. I think I'm in. And so, yeah, he's another guy just like Mitch Keller, right? It's like results are bad, but if we look a little deeper there, the stuff's really good. And so that's kind of when I was leaning at basically.
Well, that's what it's all about, is finding those late guys in drafts that can take that turn that all of a sudden you're getting massive value out of them. And you could at least see it with those two guys potentially. And if, like I always say, if it doesn't work, you drop them. It didn't cost you anything. So it's a good place to be. Luis Castillo, shoulders kind of flaring up. There's been some mixed reports the last couple of days, but there's a chance he could be back in a couple of weeks. There's a chance he could miss the first month of the season. There's already jokes that means, oh, no cold weather baseball, then he's fine. What's your thoughts on Luis Castillo, who was kind of a draft day bugaboo for many this year?
Yeah, I think I was trying to look at what it was, and I think it's a shoulder soreness, so whatever that is, right? Like,
yeah.
Before I used to be like, oh, says shoulder, we don't want anything to do with this, but I've kind of been realizing that, you know, if not all shoulder injuries are the same, right? So I think, you know, who knows, shoulder soreness could be that there's just some fatigue from wrapping up too quickly or some other reasons, you know. So I wouldn't panic, especially because his ADP is probably what the lowest it's ever been in his 2 to 3 year career, past 2 to 3 years or so. So I wouldn't necessarily panic, but I you know, I would be looking elsewhere if you're really worried about it. I mean, just because if you're worried about kind of last year, the skills, you know, it's kind of like with some of these other pitchers, like it's like, do you think that they're trending down or was this just a down year? So, I mean, you know, career worst whip last year, K minus BB was awful, you know, career worst strikeout rate or near career worst strikeout rate. You know, changeup wasn't as great. So, I mean, if you're kind of thinking he's going to bounce back, then probably great value there around pick 100. But so I wouldn't panic if you drafted him. I would just kind of be like monitoring what's going on there. And hopefully he doesn't. It's nothing too serious.
Yeah, it's been kind of one of my discussion points lately with Luis Castillo. Was like, yes, it wasn't great last year. And yes, you can't take out a month of the season or even 2 months. But after that, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball in the grand scheme of things. And he was going so early last season in drafts. And like you said, now he's like pick 100. Are we, quote unquote, punishing him too much when it comes to draft day? Like, we know he's still very, very good. There's always been whip concerns with Castillo, with between walks, bad defense behind him because he's a heavy ground ball guy. But the strikeouts are legit. He can have some monster games. So it's kind of a running dialogue in my head when it comes to draft day. Like, okay, pick 100-ish, give or take, it's a fun spot, but do I still want to take that pick? And that's the conundrum I have every time I draft. Jazz Chisholm, minor injury, should be back this weekend. Teoscar Hernandez, minor wrist injury, should be back this weekend. Any other spring standouts that have kind of or any kind of stat lines, velocity changes, anything standing out to you this spring that you wanted to talk about?
Not a ton, you know, like, to be honest, there's just so much news of players that, like, I haven't even been able to keep track of it all. It seems like every day there's like 50 new things that I need to keep track of. And, you know, I think in terms of notable spring training, you know, I'm always like hesitant to see like what, you know, I don't know what we should be paying attention to. I mean, Joe Adell has been getting some buzz. But Joe Adell's kind of already got, you know, he's not got a super late ADP, but he's got a, you know, late enough where it's kind of worth the gamble there. No, I think the only guy that I realized that I wasn't even on my radar, but it should have been, but I didn't know he was healthy, was CJ Abrams. I mean, I don't think he's going to be up right away, but the dude is just mashing. And, you know, not to say we don't, you know, Fernando Tatis is going to be injured, you know, for super, you know, longer than we want. But, you know, this guy's one of their top prospects. I think he tore his ACL or something, or he hurt his knee last year or something. But yeah, if this guy's ready to go, I mean, he might. The Padres have shown, you know, they'll call up this guy, you know, earlier. But I don't know. He's just a name to monitor.
Yeah, and if he's playing well, they can just bring Tatis back to the outfield. That's not a problem either. So that is definitely something to monitor. Mackenzie Gore had another solid outing for the Padres on Wednesday. So he's something to monitor as well. Looks really good. There's been some interesting things like Julio Rodriguez for your Seattle Mariners. Mm-hmm. appears to be starting out the team. Are you a believer in that?
I'm a skeptical Mariners fan. So, you know, when the team is bad for two decades, you kind of get a little pessimistic. But I'm excited about the future for sure. I think they've kind of been, and, you know, James Anderson has kind of noted this, but I think they've kind of been a little more careful with Julio Rodriguez. Like they're kind of moving him slowly. I think he was up in Everett in single A for a little too long. And, you know, I don't even think he's touched triple A yet. So it seems like they're being a little extra careful with him. So he should debut in 2022, but, you know, I don't know what they're doing there.
Yeah, no, I can, I'm torn on him because he's been so good. Some people are like, oh yeah, he's going to play. But I'm kind of also with you where it's, they've never shown they're willing to do this really. Like even the Kalinic thing last year, why would we think it's different for Julio? But we'll see. How do you feel about your Mariners? You know, you got Mitch Haniger, like fantasy-wise. Mitch Haniger's there off a big year. You got, you know, Winker's in town and some other – Ty France. Like, any guys really interest you there?
Yeah, I mean, I love Eugenio Suarez for a bounce back. And that was, like, pre-trade. I like what they're doing here. I think I hope they can get maybe one more pitcher. You know, because they're going to get kind of thin there. If Marco Gonzalez or Flexen or one of these guys doesn't, you know, do as well, then you're stuck with like Robbie Ray and Gilbert kind of leading that rotation there. I like the offense, so we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun for sure. Let's check out your first article at rotowire.com, a place where I've told Jeff and the others I've been a member since I was in college, so well over 15 years, almost 20 years now. Three potential hitter values. What were you looking for when you're looking for these three bats? Like what kind of your criteria?
Yeah. So I was talking to Clay about just kind of an idea, just kind of these when I kind of put together kind of my spreadsheet of like player values and ADP and just different things, and I could try to look at all that. And these three hitters were hitters that kept popping up like green on my spreadsheet of like, you know, peered values. And I was like, well, you know, I really love Hunter Dozier. I just can't quit Hunter Dozier. So it gave me an opportunity to write about Hunter Dozier. So again, you know, whether you believe in, you know, projections, basically it's like projections versus ADP is what I kind of looked at there, and just kind of like, you know, there's seemingly values there. So, you know, but also the trend with these three hitters was I looked at their 2019 season and, you know, maybe 2019's outlier for, you know, at least two of them, and Christian Walker and Hunter Dozier. So it just, that's kind of how it started. It's just like looking at some projection auction values kind of versus ADP and finding quote values.
I love the values because all three of those guys I've been looking and enjoying later in drafts. Like, you know, Manny's just, can he play regularly enough, I guess, is the question with Tampa Bay. If he can, he's going to be very productive. Dozier, I get sucked into him all the time. I know exactly what you're talking about. You look at the contact rates, you look at this, that, and the other, and you're just like, he should be so much better than this. He really should be. So yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah, and with like Dozier, especially with Dozier and Walker, like those are two guys that I'm like injury or COVID, like right around that time after that, they're awful. So I'm just, you know, kind of chalking it up to some of that, or at least to me, there's some like injury related things that could have impact. I think for Walker's like oblique or something. So to me, it was like, well, you know, maybe 2019 was an outlier, but also there's some reasonable reasons for struggles there.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm with you there. It'll be fun to see if they can bounce back, and they are all great values over there in your draft rooms. You don't have to give it all away, but what's cooking next between RotoWire and Fantrax? What's your next article you got coming up?
If I have time, I might do another one of these Valley pieces here. Still haven't figured out what I'm doing in season quite yet. I'll be honest, for a couple weeks here, I was a little burnt out from, I think, some of the lockout stuff and just like, you know, grinding out content up into the off season and then kind of hit a halt here. So kind of been moving a little slower here, trying to kind of get my feet under me and reassess.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Sometimes it's good to take a step back and just kind of take a deep breath, because it can be overwhelming. There's so much going on, so much content that could be pushed out, all kinds of fun stuff like that. We do have one listener question, and it's more of a joke question than anything, but Bjorn Masterson basically says, I'll get rid of the BS. What do you expect from Seiya Suzuki this year?
He's been someone that I haven't drafted, just because it's kind of one of those things where if I don't know a ton about somebody, like, you know, I hear all these things, but yeah, if I haven't seen a ton, you know, I guess I live on Fangraphs and baseball someone, so I can't see a ton of that, or someone can't, you know, someone I don't know doesn't get some live, you know, looks at them, that it's kind of hard to assess, you know, but based on what we know, I mean, power is there, OBP skills, batting average skills. I think it's probably a positive that he lands with the Cubs, because he should get a full run at playing time there, or at least there's, you know, opportunity there, right? It would be kind of a bummer if it was like Ha-Sung Kim last year, where he kind of comes into a situation where it's a little crowded and playing time's kind of sporadic. So I'm not sure what to expect, but hopefully he won't be a guy that I'm like, oh man, I missed out.
Well, you mentioned Ha-Sung Kim. What are your thoughts on him this year? Because he might actually have a path to playing time now.
You know, coming a year ago, Dave Swan was really into, you know, a buddy that I always chat with on him. He's really into Ha-Sung Kim. And, you know, I think the bat to ball skills are there. I think it's just seeing if that power develops. You know, he's another guy with some really good plate skills. So we'll see how that translates over. I mean, in theory, he should accumulate, you know, double digit home runs, double digit steals, but I don't know. He's probably going to bat towards the bottom of the lineup, so I don't know how much the counting stats are going to be there. So you're hoping the batting average and plate skills kind of come back closer to what it was in the KBO. But again, small sample in 2021, but that would be something to monitor, is like, how does the plate discipline shake out? And can he, you know, hit the ball hard enough to make that matter? So,
yeah, no, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because now that he's got the time, can't he be the guy type situation? So that'll be kind of fun to check out. But on that note, Corbin, I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks for joining me. Before we head on out of here, why don't you once again plug everything, let people know where they can find you, any other nuggets you got for the fantasy baseball season?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bubba. Thanks for having me on. Good chat with you. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. Mostly fantasy baseball stuff's going to be at Fantrax and Rotowire. So yeah, I'll probably have a weekly article coming out once the season gets going here, and maybe one more before this big draft weekend. But yeah, other than that, it's just kind of be focusing on those final drafts that we all have to right before opening day. So that's where you can find it.
It's going to be here quickly. It's crazy. The lockout was just like a week to 10 days ago. And here we are ready to start the season here in like two more weeks. So it's flying by in a hurry. So take your breather, get ready, because it's going to be a full go here again. But Corbin, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to doing this again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Everybody, check him out again on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 454. Catch you guys next time.
Better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.